WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready? Let's go.
Hi, Nikki. And today we have none other than Sonita Abrahams Burrows. Welcome to our podcast. It is so good to see you looking absolutely beautiful in red. I think that's your favorite color, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes,
so today we have Sonita joining us. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit about Sonita before we actually start our chat. So Sonita received a Fulbright scholarship in 1993 and went on to complete a Master's of Health Science from the School of Public Health, Johns Hopkins University, in 1995. Sonita was given the Order of Distinction in 2017 for leadership in areas of community development, youth empowerment, and the development of comprehensive services for those afflicted with addictive disorders. Wow, that's a lot right there. Sonita is the owner of Afio Yoga Pilates and Dance Studio since 2002. She's also a yoga and Pilates teacher from 2000 to 2002, respectively. You're still teaching, aren't you?
Yes.
Awesome. She has received several awards over the years, both locally and internationally, and for her contribution to at-risk populations and community service. We need to just add to that, Rise Jamaica, you're still the chairman for RISE, isn't that so?
Yes, RISE Life Management Services.
Right, RISE Life. And I had a personal interaction with RISE, which I'll talk about later on. But it's just such an honor to have you for more reasons than one. And we're just so happy to see you, to chat with you, to hear your perspective on self-love. We've been talking about relationships for this month. This is our theme this month. And there's no better way to start off by talking about that relationship with ourselves.
Well, it's difficult to love other people, as you know, if we don't have a good relationship with ourselves.
Surely, yes.
But let's start up with your story, Sonita. If you don't mind me asking, you look fabulous. Around what age are you?
I'm 71.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
and there are poses of you on your page, and I can't do that.
No,
you look amazing. You look absolutely amazing. Some of those yoga poses. We have to go to the studio.
Of course,
we're gonna go to the studio.
But you are definitely an inspiration to us for sure. So that means that you actually did your master's in your late 40s.
40s in my early 40s.
Okay, early 40s.
Early 40s, yes. Well, let me take you back a little bit before that. I was actually married. I've been married twice. I was married for 20 years. I got married at 19.
Wow.
And got divorced at 40, just before my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how that was such a milestone for me, because in preparing to leave my marriage, I had to become spiritually very strong, because I had lost myself and I was unhappy, but I didn't know what to do. You know, I was married to a good person. He is a good guy. You know, he didn't abuse me. He didn't treat me really badly. I just was unhappy in my marriage. And my daughter was already in university and my son was getting ready to go. And I made a decision that I was going to stay in my marriage until my kids were ready to leave, to go away. And therefore I had to do whatever I needed to do to prepare myself so I wasn't miserable, horrible, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's where my spiritual journey really began. And I started going to the Temple of Light. You know, I was brought up a Roman Catholic, but I didn't feel fulfilled in the Roman Catholic Church. And when I went to the temple, which is a non-denominational church, I really found my spiritual home. Mm-hmm. And so in preparation to leave, but to leave amicably as possible, I had to become very spiritually strong. And that's what gave me the courage. And that was, as I said, a milestone for me, because that was the beginning of my real personal journey into wow. self-love and happiness. And, you know, it took a few years for my ex-husband and my children to forgive me, because, you know, mom is the one that did the walking. But they did, and they came to understand why I needed to be alone. And that's when, so at that time, I was actually running a factory. I was running an ink manufacturing and paint factory, okay. even though I was trained as a clinical psychologist. Mm. And my ex-husband had asked me to come in and help him to run this business, which I did for 3 years, but I was unhappy. And one day I was driving to work, and I had a conversation with God, and I said, you know, you didn't put me on this earth to run a paint factory. There's something else there for me. I don't know what it is, but I'm open. And within a week, I got a call from a colleague who said, you know, I have a friend that's opening a substance misuse program, right? Addiction Alert. And he's looking for an administrator. Are you interested? I got the interview. I got the job. I went to my board of directors and said, I'm out of here. Right, I'm walking away from this business. You can do whatever you want with it. And I started in 1990. We opened Addiction Alert. I was the administrator. Within 3 months, I was the executive director. But I want to take you back one more time to I was 19 years old. I was working at Pan American. I had spent Pan American. I'm aging up. I had spent 2 years in Spain. I had done a bilingual secretarial course. I left Immaculate at 15. I was very precocious. I finished high school at 15. I went to commercial college at Alpha. My parents didn't know what to do with me. They decided to send me to Spain. I had a cousin there, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I come back and I'm working at Pan Am. And after 3 months on the ticket counter, I get a job for the manager upstairs. And I'm sitting at my desk typing, and I look across and I see the executive director, and I look at his chair, and I said to myself, that's where I want to be. Okay. So at that age, I wasn't happy working for somebody. So fast forward to what happened both in the ink manufacturing business, because I started running that business within 3 months of starting there, even though I knew nothing about it. And then same with Addiction Alert. When I started at Addiction Alert, even though I was a trained psychologist, I knew nothing about addiction. The guy that was the executive director, unfortunately, he had a relapse, which is why I got kicked to the top position. So I was learning as I went along, right? Okay. So this is a lesson in be careful what you ask for. If you really put your mind to it, you're going to get it, right? Anyway, it was my path. And I mean, I have absolutely no regrets. This is why I'm on this earth, to serve. And before I started at Addiction Alert, I used to do counseling in the gun court with Father Richard Holong. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned. We had just come back to Jamaica. So this was in the early 80s. I was in my 30s. And you guys are too young to remember this, but this was the late 70s, and this was a gun court where a lot of people had been just locked up. And so Father Holong,
I wish we were too young to remember that.
Well, let's wait.
Father Holong would do the remedial ed, and I would do the counseling. And that's when I recognized that God lives within every human being. Mm. And I did not feel any fear. When I was counseling, I never had a guard with me in the room. And, you know, many years later, I'm still in touch with some of those inmates that are now on the outside. So I've given you little bits which have been, you know, important landmarks in my life.
Yes.
And then let me stop chatting for a while.
All along the journey, to self-love, discovering who you were. And what I think is also important, which you talked about was forgiving yourself. You mentioned your children forgiving you.
And your ex-husband.
And your ex-husband. But first, you had to forgive yourself. So yes. I think that's an important part of the journey.
Yes, very, very important, actually. Very important. Because if one doesn't forgive first self and then others, yes. you live with shame, you live with guilt. And I was not about to have any of those. And, you know, when I first went out on my own at age 40, it was very challenging because I really had no money. I had my job, but I had two kids in university.
Right.
And I remember my daughter saying, "Mom, I'm going to have to drop out of school." And I said, "No, no, no, dearie, you're not dropping out of school." And then when I got my fellowship, the board of directors at Addiction Alert were very good to me because so they paid me half of my salary while I was there, and the scholarship was good. So I was able to live and help to support my two kids who were now in college in Florida. So, you know, when one door closes, another one opens up, and many more. I mean, that being at Hopkins was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, though, in terms of, you know, my personal, because it was hard. It was way, I mean, I know I'm a smart girl, but it was way above my level. And I prayed a lot. I studied a lot. And, you know, they told me at Hopkins that while I was doing my Humphrey Fellowship, that I couldn't go on to get my master's degree. It was not, you were supposed to take the class. You were supposed to audit the class. It was not a degree program.
Right.
Because we had to travel a lot. All over the states, you know, we met with Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Anyway, so, but because the seed had been planted in my head, it was actually planted by Dr. Wendell Abel, who had gone the year before me.
I absolutely love him.
I told my professors, well, I'm going for my degree. And so I came back after the year and I went back to, because it was a USAID sponsored fellowship, and I went back to USAID and said, I need a scholarship for another year. And I said, oh, no, 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 we never give the same person two scholarships. And I said, well, this is going to be the first time. Yeah. And I got it. So, you know, I don't know where my determination came from, but I suppose because I've always been driven. I've always wanted to be the best. I've always wanted to do well. I've always believed that nothing is impossible. I suppose I was born into the Morin family, M-O-R-I-N, and my family, my dad was a shoe manufacturer, and the other family had Morin stores in downtown Kingston. And my both parents were very confident people. They were very young when they got married. I was the second child, and my dad was just 20 years older than me. So they were babies. Yeah. But they were confident and they had good personalities. And I think that I was blessed to get that from them, which has helped me a lot in my life, especially fundraising for RISE. Because I can go up to anybody and shake hands and say, you know, I'm Sunita, I'm the head of RISE, and I need, you know, I need to make an appointment with you because you need to be one of our supporters, whatever. You know?
You claimed it.
Yes. And I believe that we are responsible for everything that happens in our lives in some way, even a lot of it. Obviously, we don't want to bring anything bad on ourselves. But for example, if you have a car accident, it's usually because you're not focused, you're distracted, and it gives you something to learn about. I had a horrible car accident when I was 25 in Miami, living in Miami, two young children. My car turned over. And I think that at that moment, I was given a choice whether to live or to die. And I prayed to God to because I wanted to live. I had two little kids and a husband. But that accident turned my life around. I became a vegetarian. I started to do yoga. I started to meditate. I crushed all the fingers of my left hand, and they told me my fingers would never be the same. And fortunately, because I was doing a class in self-hypnosis, I asked my teacher to make a tape for me, which I listened every day. And it was about healing, and I was healed. And, you know, I had things like irritable bowel syndrome, which you're told can never be cured. Well, I rejected that, and I cured my body. I started on my spiritual path back then. As I said, I started to do yoga, started to meditate, became a vegetarian, and I have never looked back. So it taught me that not only can I take responsibility for my life, but I can also take responsibility for my health.
Wow. Yes. I believe in that for sure. So you went to Johns Hopkins, you finished up and you came back and you started Afya in, was it
2002.
Yes. And that's a yoga studio.
And Pilates.
And Pilates mm-hmm. studio. And what was your journey after that? You're a newly educated, single.
Yeah. Okay, well, so actually how Afya came about is my daughter who got an opportunity to go to Africa, to Botswana, to work on an elephant back safari. And the day she arrived and a guy picked her up on the little field out in the bush, they fell in love. So she ended up living in Botswana. And then she got homesick. She came home. He followed her back home. And, well, he was a tour guide, you know, and she's a Pilates teacher. And they were both in the safari business. Well, there ain't no safaris in Jamaica. So he would come to my yoga classes and he fell in love with yoga and became an Ashtanga teacher. So we built Afya together. And that's why it's called Afya. Afya, A-F-Y-A, it's a Swahili word for health and harmony, which is why you see my Afya shirts and the back.
Yes.
Health and harmony.
Health and harmony. Nice. Love that.
Love it.
And the studio was semi-outdoors, and Shandor would jump in his car and he would go out to the beaches and he would bring all of this beautiful driftwood back. And the walls were wattland daub, which they use a lot in the countryside in Africa. So a lot of Africa was put into our studio, which I think made it very special. And then they got married in Jamaica, went back to Africa on their honeymoon and got a job. And then came back home and guess what? We're gone. And I said, well, what am I going to do with the yoga studio? I have a full-time job. I was executive director of Rise at the time, was still Addiction Alert. And I went, oh my God. Anyway, you know, as the universe has it, it worked out. And it's, I think Afya is the greatest gift. Apart from my children and my husband, it's the greatest gift I've ever gotten because it's what has kept me centered. So I would go into downtown Kingston every day. I would deal with all the issues. I would deal with the drug addicts. When we moved into downtown Kingston, though, we branched out into a lot more community work. So we work with at-risk youth. And that was such a blessing because we saw young lives being transformed on a daily basis, right? So we put a lot more effort into giving them the necessary tools so that they never got into a life of substance misuse or violence. Those were the two biggies, right? And then I would come home, you know, to Barbican, to Bamboo Avenue in the afternoon, and I would walk into my studio and I would just be so grateful. And so even though I taught and it was my studio, I also enjoyed a lot of classes, which I still do. I go to all the other classes. So I'm blessed to be able to have wonderful teachers and to be able to take classes whenever I want.
Okay, and you have a new location now, right?
Yes. So we sold our property on Bamboo Avenue. So, all right, so this is now the new phase in my life.
Okay.
So I turned 70 in October.
Still can't believe it.
And look here, if you come really close, you'll see. And I knew that it was time for me to downsize. I had been running Rise last year when I retired. It was 32 years full time. Wow. I used to run on my property. I had 4 small businesses happening. I had a nail tech. I had a spa. I had a nutrition block store and Just Sugar. So all of those little businesses on the property, which helped me to, I mean, my parents stayed there until they died. And so I was taking care of them on the property. And then I had a little cottage up in the Blue Mountains. And I was doing all of this on my own. You know, I was superwoman. So I decided it was time to drop the superwoman role and to downsize. And fortunately for me, God is really good. I re-met a wonderful man, Johnny Burrows, who I have known from teenage days. We used to sail. And we came together, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, something like that. And we got married, I think 4 years ago. He's the one that remembers the dates. And
but this is in your 60s then that you
really... Yeah, man. Yeah. So I got married at about five, you know? Something like that. Yes, yes, yes. I think we got married 4 years ago, maybe five now this year in July.
Wow, that's lovely.
And it's been so easy because Johnny balances me off. I am the type A personality that has to do a million things every day. And he is a laid back character that is so happy doing nothing. So I told him the other day, babe, what are you doing today? He said nothing. And then tomorrow I said, what are you doing today? He says, well, I didn't get finished doing nothing yesterday. So anyway, that's not really true because he runs the studio. He manages the studio. So
okay.
He goes every day, twice a day. But so, you know, we get in our life what we put out. So I put out that I always knew I wanted a partner, but I was not in a hurry because I don't think I was ready. And so, you know, my conversation with God was, hey, when the time is ready and the right man is there for me, I am open to it. Okay. And what I did was I started preparing myself physically, mm-hmm. mentally, spiritually to accept this partner into my life. Because a lot of times we single women, and I was single, when I say single, for 20 years. I mean, yes, I had relationships, but right, unmarried for 20 years. And we get very comfortable in our own space, doing our own stuff, right? And so we don't create that space for that wonderful partner to come in. And we mm-hmm. have to create that space and be willing to give up some of our freedoms, be willing to compromise. And a lot of single women I know, especially if they've been single for a long time, are not willing to do that. And so mm-hmm. their excuses, there are no good men out there. Well, I always say there are good men everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
And
love
that. Everywhere. Oh, mm-hmm. yes. And so, and I attracted a wonderful man, and you know, he's a blessing to me. And we really enjoy each other's company. He's 7 years older than me, even though he doesn't look it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we will grow old together, which is wonderful.
So, would you say your self love journey really started at 40?
I would say I would say it started at 25, when I had that car accident, because even though I didn't know that's what it was, it really mm-hmm. was self-love, because it was about bringing myself back to a healthy body, mind, and spirit, mm-hmm. right? Because with the yoga and meditation, that was spiritual, with the physical part and the yoga. So that's really when my journey started. Now, but because I was active and again, you know, doing so many things, what I did when I was no longer happy in my marriage was I filled up my day so that I didn't have time to think. Mm-hmm. And so I was busy all the time. And it's only in the latter years that I have discovered or come to understand that I don't need to do that anymore, because I'm now in a place of peace. I'm happy. I am fulfilled. I've really done everything that I set out to do. I am financially very stable. I'm healthy. I'm happy. So I have achieved my life. My children are doing well. My grandchildren are fine. You know, they're not here, unfortunately, but that's life. I have four grandsons. And so I can now be in a position where I don't have to push anymore. I need to be productive. I need to get up in the morning and still have something to do. That's very important for me.
Of course,
but if I want to go to the pool and swim instead of going to the studio, I can do that. I've never had that luxury before.
Mm-hmm. You're in control now.
If I was a different type of person, I would say, oh my God, this is too true. This is too true to be real. But it's not. I deserve it. I know I deserve it. I've worked hard. I've helped a lot of people, et cetera, et cetera. And so I deserve this happiness at my time in life.
Absolutely.
Now. And that's what self-love is, a journey over the years. And it's about It's about acceptance. I accept that my body is never going to look like it did when I was 20 and 30 and 40 and even 50. I accept that my mind, even though it's still sharp, it's not as sharp as it used to be. Neither is my face, you know. I would do a little facelift and take 10 years off my life, but maybe not, probably not. So it's understanding the changes we go through in different phases of our life and being comfortable with that. I think that's the challenge.
To be comfortable
with where you are and to accept the changes.
Right.
And those changes will come.
They do come. Yeah, and they're subtle and sometimes they're not. Yes. Menopause is a big, I want to talk a little bit about menopause. Not really my journey, because my journey was fairly easy. But a lot of my students, I see them struggling. I see my daughter and my nephew's wife struggling going through menopause, and my niece. And it's understanding the changes that are happening, read up about it, accept it. I think we have to change our diet when we're going through menopause, because your body wants to put on weight. And if you don't want to put on all that weight, you need to change your diet, not be too rigid, because I think the body naturally is going to put on a little weight, which is okay. I had to change my diet. I upped up my exercise even more. But it's acceptance that this is a new phase in our life. A lot of women are then at a crossroads, and if they're not happy in their marriage or in their jobs, they want to make a change. That's okay. If that's really what your soul is calling for, then my advice is prepare yourself spiritually, though. Really, you need to be strong, you need to be grounded, and you need to be convinced that you want a different path. You know, this job is not serving me anymore, or this relationship, and be willing to jump off into the deep. Sometimes that's what you have to do, because you're going to get that, you will can't be caught, and you will, new things will open up. But now, faith is also required.
You talk about acceptance and accepting the new state, but yet still, which I love, is that you spoke about preparing yourself to accept somebody in new and a new relationship. And you said you prepared your mind, your body. And I agree that a lot of women start blaming the situation. There's no men in Jamaica. There's no men my age. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about how you prepared yourself to open up and to be able to trust the synchronicities that may happen?
So you were able to receive them.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And so taking action, purposeful action towards that.
Exactly. Well, I have to say it's the teachings from my church, because the teachings, the spiritual teachings there, again, as I said, we're taught to take responsibility for what happens to another. I don't know if you've heard of the teachings of Abraham, for example, where Abraham teaches that in the morning, for example, you get up, you wake up. Meditation is really important. You need to set the stage for the day, right? Okay. So every morning I wake up, I meditate, I do breath work, and, you know, I read something spiritual, whether it's daily word or something, yeah? Affirmations, so I affirm. I remember in the teachings of Abraham, they said, before you get into your car in the morning, just visualize your journey, that it's going to be safe, you're going to get there on time, blah, 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 right? And so always put forward what it is you want, right? And because if you're not in the driver's seat, then you're just going to be, you know, knocked about by all of the energies that come in. Now, there are times, though, when you need to come out of the driver's seat. So, for example, when it was time for me to put Bamboo Avenue up for sale, I had to really pray about it. And when I pray, prayer for me is a conversation with God, right? And it's, hey, I need some guidance here. I need to know if this is the right thing for me, and if it's a good time to sell, and I need help to let go of this property that has been in my family for almost 60 years. And so the guidance comes. I also call out to my ancestors, my grandparents, my parents that have died, my brother who's on the other side. Sometimes if I have a real challenge, I'll say, Clev Anthony, who was my brother, mom, dad, grandma, you know, my guides, my spiritual guides, I need your guidance here. And then I let it go. And I say, no, I know I'm being guided. And then the answers will come. It might come with you getting a phone call, somebody walking into your yard, something jumps into your head. And a lot of times we're too busy to look up for the signs, but the signs are always there, right?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But preparing yourself every morning. And for those people that have children still at home, I remember when my kids are young, I would go into the bathroom and sit down on the toilet seat and lock the door. And that's where I would do my little meditation and prayer work, right? And, you know, in our, it's not a religion. Our spiritual path is called science of mind because it's a science. And the science is if you put in garbage, you're going to get garbage. If I keep affirming that I have no money, Lord have mercy, you know, I'm broke, I'm going to be broke.
Of course.
If I say, you know, people that like to talk about their ailments all the time, oh my Lord, I'll ask this, you know, how you do it. And then she goes off in this whole 15 minutes. That's the energy that you're putting out. So sometimes, even if you don't feel like it, you say, you know what? I am deciding that I'm going to be wonderful today, or I'm great, or I'm happy, I'm fulfilled. And the way to turn that energy around from feeling sorry for yourself or feeling bad is to be grateful. What are three things that I can be grateful for right now? And we have so many things we can be grateful for. And once you start affirming and get into a place of gratitude, then the other things fall away. So we learn how to, so for example, a prayer is, I affirm there is one God, right? One universal force, blah, blah. I see myself living in a beautiful new home. It's safe, it's secure, it's affordable, it's in the right location. I know there is nothing that can stop me from manifesting this dream house. I let it go. I ask God to bring it into being in the right and perfect time. And that's it. And I let it go. And I'll get a call, you know, and you'll say, hey, Sunita, you know that there is a house coming up in the Pines in Millsboro? And I came here. I'm sitting here now. I'm looking over the mountains. I came into the Pines with the realtor. I walked down. I took one look at the swimming pool and the trees. And I said, Johnny, this is where we're going to live. Okay, this is where we're going to live. And then the universe started doing its thing, right? And yes, there were times when we didn't think it was going to happen. You know, we had to fight hard to get this house. But you just never lose the faith. Now, sometimes the universe has another plan for us. So when I talk about manifesting or so I have a car down there that I, when I wanted to get a Suzuki Vitara, even the color, I knew the color I wanted. I did the work and I got it, right? This is not this car. This is a newer one. But really and truly, it's better to ask for something that's safe. So let's talk about a car. So I want a new car. So what do I really want? I want a car that's going to be reliable. I want a car that I'm going to be able to afford to maintain. I want a car that's comfortable, safe. That's what I want. So because I might think that that right and perfect car is a Suzuki Vitara, but it could be a Mercedes-Benz or it could be a Honda. Don't know. But so I believe even though you put your intention out, so I wouldn't ask for that yellow house on the hill. I would ask for, as I said, you know, a safe place, an affordable, a comfortable, all of those things. And then allow. So that's how science of mind works. And it's really about understanding that you're in the driver's seat. And yes, sometimes you need to get out of the driver's seat and allow universe, God, to guide you when you lose your way. But basically, we take responsibility. So if I mess up and I say something that offends somebody, I need to take responsibility for that and say, I'm really sorry. You know, I was in a bad mood, whatever, and I'm really sorry. You know, and then you move on and you have a light heart, which is why forgiveness is also so important. Because if you can't forgive, then you're going to be so burdened. And now I'm not even talking about self-forgiveness for sure. That comes number one. But you got to forgive everybody. You don't need to forget it. You can't forget it.
But certainly forgive.
Yes.
So with the responsibility, though, that's huge. And I think that you're absolutely correct, because we can't expect someone to come and do it for us. We have to put in the work. And likewise for ourselves personally, for our self-love. And we know that love is an action word. So it requires us to do the things we need to do. And so you can look back now and you can say, well, I did the work in all the areas of my life. Yeah. I did the work.
Yes. So sorry, you did ask me a question and I didn't actually complete it. So yes. So in the morning, it's meditation, prayer, good nutrition, and then going about your day. But exercise is so critical. And a lot of women, you know, they're busy. They'll say, I don't have the time. And I said, I'm sorry, you're not making the time. Mm-hmm. So women, for self-care, it's very important that they put that into their schedule. And if it means waking up half an hour earlier in the morning to do their prayer work, to do their stretches, to do their breathing. I do yogic breathing every morning, right? It keeps me healthy. It keeps me energized. It keeps me balanced. And maybe in another podcast, I can take you through some of those breathing exercises.
Oh, that would love be that. Amazing. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, they're so critical. It sets your day, and then you affirm what it is you want to achieve that day. You know, it could be just a relaxing day. It could be a very productive day. You affirm a productive day. If you're going into your car, that you're going to be safe, blah, blah, blah. And then now you take little breaks during the day. You make sure you eat when you're supposed to eat. You know, I don't believe in this not having time to eat. I eat 3 meals a day. You do your exercise. Some women wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do it. Great for them. My exercise time is really in the evenings, right? So I made sure, even though I was ahead of Rise, I would leave work on time so I could get to my studio in time to do a 5 or a 6 p.m. class, always, right? I didn't take any late meetings. If I had to have a meeting, it was afterwards, you know, like 7 in the evening. And I think you need to set your time. That's your time, your self-nurturing time. And yes, if you have children at home, you have to have some flexibility in that. But we women tend to take care of everybody else's needs first. Mm-hmm. We need to change that, because if you don't take care of yourself and self-nurture and self-love, then as we have talked about it before, you're Michelle, you're not going to be able to truly take care of others. Absolutely. Right. But you're taking care of them because you want to be acknowledged or you're needy. You don't want that. You want to be a complete human being, loving self, taking care of self. And if somebody says, but that's selfish, no, it's not. Absolutely not. I would say to my husband, look, I need an hour every day, right? I need a half an hour in the morning and I need an hour in the evening. So whatever that looks like, we need to work out a schedule. And my kids would know when I'm doing my yoga or I'm doing my meditation, don't interrupt. Leave me alone. I need quiet and peace. And then they will respect that, because you're the
one. You set the boundaries. You know? Yes.
And you set your boundaries.
Yes.
Right? A lot of women don't have boundaries, and it's so important to have them. Mm-hmm. And family, children are young, so that they grow up knowing that mommy needs time for herself.
Of course.
And you are modeling that
for your daughter, you can't pour from a half cup anyway.
Right.
The cup has to be full, of course.
Right.
So just to recap, the practices, meditation, affirmation, exercise, eating well, and of course, self, all of that under self-nurturing.
Perfect. This has been great, but I have one more question. So, is your daughter still living in Botswana?
No, she's in Kenya.
Okay.
And she is going to be 50 in
May.
Yes. And she is coming home for her 50th birthday, or just before. And she has a studio too. She has a bigger studio than Afia. And she's a dancer and she's a Pilates teacher. And she's just become certified as a Qigong teacher.
Okay.
So in fact, we did a class with her Monday morning. Her dad was in the class. I was in the class. And her brother, who lives in New York, was in his bedroom with COVID.
Said, oh no.
And she said, "But God, where'd she go?" So yeah, she's in Kenya.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Sunita, for being with us and taking the time. And I think we're definitely gonna
to do
breath work,
the breathing,
exercise,
we're
gonna have to go to
Afia. And Pilates.
Where is Afia located now?
Afia is at 46 Fairway Avenue. So it's on the corner of Fairway and Seymour Avenue in the Golden Triangle. It's right
on very central.
Very close to the Total gas station on Old Hope Road by Santon Terrace. And the Seymour Avenue side is right opposite the new EU headquarters. So it's very central. Mm-hmm. It's pretty. I took about probably 50 plants down there and my garden furniture. So I took Afia down to the temple. And so I created a really nice space down there.
Lovely. I love that.
So check us out at afiajamaica.com.
Yes.
Right. And I want to put a plug in for RISE because RISE Life Management Services, RISE really needs funding to continue the substance misuse program. We get some money from Chase every year, but I have to beg and plead and beg some more. Mm-hmm. And we work with the kids in schools. We do the drug testing. We work with employees. You know, addiction is a very, very, I want to say, sad disease. It's a disease.
Painful on all fronts.
Very painful. And so we would like to know that we can continue. So we do need some sponsors for our substance misuse program. That's my plug.
And as I said earlier, I had a personal interaction with RISE. My brother-in-law was an alcoholic. So RISE was extremely helpful to us during that time. We wish we had a different story to tell, but certainly our interaction with RISE was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, ladies, for having me. Always happy to share and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.